You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Nancy Solomon, in for Tanzina Vega. As vaccine distribution ramps up in the U.S. and in other high-income countries, many others have yet to receive any of the COVID-19 vaccines. In Haiti, where political instability and violence continues to rock the country, not a single dose of the COVID vaccine has been made available for its more than 11 million people. Here to explain why that is Jacqueline Charles, Caribbean correspondent for the Miami Herald. Jacqueline, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
There seems to be a few reasons behind the delayed vaccine campaign in Haiti. So let's start first with the role of bureaucracy. What's causing the holdup there?
Well, you know, Haiti is a country that is known for its bureaucracy. Things normally move very slowly on other issues. But I think with this vaccine, there has been a number of issues that have been further feeding the slow-moving bureaucracy. Let's start with COVID. Haiti has somehow dodged a bullet so far on a high death toll. It's less than 300 deaths in the country, I think a little over 12,000 confirmed cases. And even though we recognize that they have problems in terms of testing, the reality is that you haven't seen in Haiti what we've seen in Brazil or even what we saw in Ecuador last year at the beginning, which is bodies on the ground, people being buried, or even what we saw in Haiti 11 years ago with cholera. So anecdotally, you're not seeing that there are a large number of people who are dying as a result of COVID. Even in the hospitals, you're not seeing high hospitalization rates. And in fact, a year after COVID, a number of COVID treatment centers that opened were closed, including one by Doctors Without Borders, which closed theirs 3 months afterwards because people were just not coming to the hospital. If they were getting COVID, they were not getting severely ill, and somehow they were treating it. The other factor that doctors believe it's because of the young population. More than half of the country's population is under the age of 30. I think over 50% is under the age of 25. But they're still stumped by this and they're still looking into this. So I think that this reality in terms of the profile of the disease in Haiti has been feeding a side debate in terms of whether or not Haiti needs a COVID vaccination, a vaccine. But also, there's been concern in Haiti among government officials about the AstraZeneca vaccine, is what they've told me. And there are two concerns for them. One, of course, they're watching reports about AstraZeneca and the whole issue with blood clots and questioning how safe it is. And we've seen reports that says it is safe. The benefits outweigh the risk in respect to this vaccine. But at the same time, Haiti is a country that has struggled with vaccination, especially when it comes to children. And so for them, it is much more efficient and easier to get somebody in the door for one shot rather than two shots. And this push led to reports even in the Haitian press that said that the Haitian government, the Ministry of Health, had turned down AstraZeneca. I spoke to the director general. He says, no, they did not turn down their vaccine. What they ask is for Gavi and WHO to consider a one-shot vaccine. As we know, Johnson & Johnson is available in the United States, but it has not yet been approved by WHO for emergency use. And therefore, the only vaccine available to Haiti or any country right now through WHO, through the COVAX facility, which is aimed at getting vaccines into the hands of poor and middle-income countries, is the AstraZeneca vaccine.
So, Jacqueline, you were talking about many of the reasons why the vaccination program hasn't gotten underway. And what is the issue with cold storage? Is there the ability to store the vaccine if they were to get it from one of the companies that requires a super low temperature?
Well, yeah, that is also a problem. I mean, we're talking about a country that is just not dealing with a governance issue today, but it has a number of other problems. And according to PAHO, the Pan American Health Organization, a lot of work has gone into helping Haiti prepare. And just to give you an idea of the problems, the cold storage issue is that just, I think, in February, India, which was providing vaccines, AstraZeneca, their version of a COVID shield, to countries around the Caribbean and Latin America. They offered Haiti 10,000 doses, and Haiti had to tell them, hey, can you put that on hold because we're not ready? And the director general says, listen, if we got these vaccines and we didn't have the proper storage for the vaccine, then it would have, you know, expired in our hands, and then we would have been further criticized. So a lot of work had to go into Haiti's preparation to receive this vaccine. And, you know, what Gavi is saying, just based on their timeline, the first that they heard from Haiti confirmation that, okay, yes, we'll take the vaccine, was like March 9th. And then Haiti finally had a vote on March 16th, where they agreed that the population needs to be vaccinated. And then they didn't inform Gavi until March 29th. So what you see, just this very slow moving, slow churning bureaucracy, and yet they're still not fully prepared.
Haiti is still seeing violence and political instability stemming from the 2015 election crisis. How does that further complicate the pandemic response?
It does complicate it, because what you have is a mistrust of the government. And so when COVID first appeared on the scene, you had a lot of people in Haiti who just really didn't believe that it was real. They felt that it was a ploy by the government to make money. And even today, I mean, the central question when we're thinking about vaccination in Haiti is, how do you convince people to take a vaccine for a disease that they don't believe in? I mean, when Haitians talk about COVID, they say, oh, it's just a little fever, you know. So there's this attitude towards, you know, this pandemic that we see that's ravaging in the U.S. and ravaging elsewhere around the world. But in Haiti, it hasn't had that impact. And so it's a huge challenge. And the government has been challenged in responding and in trying to convince people because of its own problems that it's had. The governance issue, the violence, the kidnappings. I think all of this is factored into the COVID response, or lack thereof.
And what's been the U.S. government response, and what can the U.S. government do to help?
You know, that's a very interesting question. I mean, the U.S. government really has been, for me, sort of absent on this whole COVID response. I mean, just a clear example, I mentioned earlier that Doctors Without Borders closed their COVID treatment center 3 months after they opened it. Well, the U.S. provided ventilators after that fact. The ventilators to Haiti from USAID arrived after, you know, COVID centers were closing. It was not at the height of COVID when we were seeing some deaths in Haiti. There were concerns about whether or not Haiti would even be able to address, you know, a COVID outbreak in the country. So in terms of the, you know, the COVID vaccine, the U.S. really has been silent on this. This has really been pushed by the United Nations. They are the ones who have been providing, you know, testing kits. In fact, Haiti wanted to get some testing kits out of the United States. But remember, during the Trump administration, there was a lot of lockdown on products that were made in the United States, PPEs and other things. And so Haiti could not even access COVID testing kits from the United States in order for them to be able to test people for COVID.
Jacqueline Charles is the Caribbean correspondent for the Miami Herald. Jacqueline, thanks as always for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.